You are now listening to the First Baptist Church of America's podcast. If you have any questions about our church, please check us out online at fbcamericas.org. This week, we continue our journey through John's Gospel with Brother Keith's message, The Paradox of the Cross, on Palm Sunday, coming from John 12, 31 through 32. Let's listen in.
Amen. The power of the cross. Next week is Easter Sunday, a day of celebration for Christians. But we wouldn't have Easter without the cross. And there is power in that cross. And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, you can turn to the scripture that's already been read for us, John 12, 31 and 32. Now, I'm usually expecting to see some of you with your Bible app on your phone. But you read the Bible on your phone, so that's fine. Today, we have the added possibility that you may be looking at the weather on your phone. Plus, we have another added possibility that you are checking on Tiger at Augusta and what's going on there. So, turn to your Bible app on your phone, John 12. This is, as you know, Palm Sunday. And on this day, we always do a quick turnaround in the service. I mean, we begin giving praise to Jesus. The children are waving palm branches, which at that time was a symbol of victory and triumph. And so it's a commemoration of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And then we end the service commemorating his death on a cross. A quick turnaround in just an hour's time. But think about the quick turnaround that happened that week for Jesus. One day being hailed as the King of Israel, and just a few days later being rejected, beaten, and crucified by the same people, many of the same, who wanted to crown him king. That was a quick turnaround as well. As we think about what happened that week, none of that happened to Jesus took him by surprise. Nothing. He knew what the people wanted. He knew that they wanted a political king that would free them from the oppression of Rome or the occupation of Rome and to reestablish the glory of Israel. He knew that's what they wanted. But he also knew that the people would reject him as the way to true salvation. He knew that. Everything that happened to Jesus happened exactly how and when God intended it to happen. Everything. And it happened that way. God's plan was fulfilled because of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, because of his obedience to his Father's will. Jesus faithfully died on that cross so that people like you and me could live. What seemed to be the tool of victory for Satan was in reality the tool of victory for God. Think about that. What seemed to be a tool of victory for Satan was in reality a tool of victory for God. The paradox of the cross. What looked one way was actually another way. Well, the passage itself, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at a larger section of this passage. But today I want to just focus on what Jesus said to the immediate crowd around him, verses 31 and 32. Later in the day, after he had come into Jerusalem, there were some Greeks who were trying to get to him so they could have an audience with Jesus. And this is part of his reply. He said, "Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Now, what time was Jesus talking about? Now the time has come. Well, he's talking about his death. Now, there is nothing like a speech about death to dampen the excitement of a crowd who is celebrating the arrival of a king. And here's Jesus talking about his death. In fact, we're not much different than that. You would rather that I talk about the good that Jesus did and the good influence that still continues because of what he did. You would rather me talk about that than to talk about his death and what his death requires for you, to die to yourself. I have to die to myself. Yeah, we would rather talk about the good and not death. But we can't have the good without the death. There's a purpose in it. Imagine hearing your doctor tell you that you needed a very difficult treatment or surgery. And without this treatment or surgery, you will die sooner than later if you don't have it. Some of you have had that conversation with your doctor. Now, Jesus is the great physician. And he always spoke clearly about man's greatest problem, spiritual death. He spoke clearly about that. But he also spoke clearly about what the remedy for that problem is, his sacrificial death, his life for our life. Remember, what seemed to be the tool of victory for Satan was in reality the tool of victory for God. That tool is the cross. So the cross is the means by which, first of all, the world is judged. Jesus said, "Now is the time for judgment on this world." Now, he didn't mean that the time of final judgment had come, but rather the standard by which that final judgment will be decided was about to be set. He was about to set the standard. Jesus' death on the cross is the standard by which all humanity is judged. Now, God's most complete revelation of himself came in the person of Jesus. And his voluntary death on the cross is proof of his love, which is why he came. And now the whole world will be judged according to their acceptance of Jesus' physical death as a substitute for my spiritual death. A substitute. So do you want to know how you can possibly stand the judgment of the all-powerful and holy God? Do you want to know how you can stand that judgment? By trusting Jesus to stand in your place. That's how you stand. Because you accept the fact that Jesus stood for you. You acknowledge that Jesus took your judgment. Jesus was judged for you on that cross. So the cross is the means by which the world is judged, but it's also the means by which Satan is driven out. Jesus said, "Now the prince of this world will be driven out." Remember, Jesus had just arrived in Jerusalem to thousands and thousands of people proclaiming him as God's Messiah. And he's looking like a victorious and conquering king. But only by his death would he be victorious. Only by his death would he conquer man's greatest enemy, spiritual death. See, that's a paradox, that life comes from death. See, if he had only become the king that they wanted him to be, he would have freed them from Rome. I mean, he certainly had the power to do that, although he didn't use his power in military ways like that. But if he did what they wanted him to do, he could have freed them from Rome, but they would have remained in bondage to Satan. And they would have died in their sin. You and I would too, if he had been the king that they wanted, that we want. But it was on the cross that Jesus accomplished God's will. And he made a way for Satan to be driven out of the hearts of every man and every woman who accepts his death as an atonement for their sins, as the atonement for their sins. For every man and woman who believes that, Satan is driven out. So do you want to know how to be free from Satan's control in your life? By believing that Satan was completely defeated by what Jesus did on that cross, by dying for you. So the cross is the means by which the world is judged. It's the means by which Satan is driven out. But the cross is also the means by which Jesus draws people to himself. Jesus said, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Now he's referring to being lifted up on the cross. So it's by his death that he draws people. By dying, he draws people. Why? Because the gospel says that God made himself weak so that he could die. And this contradicts all other world religions. It totally contradicts them that God, all-powerful, all-holy, he made himself weak so that he could die. I mean, think about it. God can't die, but he let himself be in a position of vulnerability so that he could die. So that he could die for the sin that you and I deserve. The cross shows you a God so just that he had to die. But at the same time, a God so loving that he did die voluntarily. And that is what fuels our worship. That's what fuels our service. Knowing that he did that for us voluntarily. And you see, when someone sees the beauty of what Jesus has done for us, that draws us into who he is. It draws us because you realize that all-powerful God made himself weak and he died in your place so that you wouldn't have to face judgment. He did it for you and he did it for me. What seemed to be the tool of victory for Satan was in reality a tool of victory for God and you. It's a tool of victory for you. Not just for God, but he did it for you. Don't ever forget the cross of Christ. The world will be judged by it. Satan was defeated by it. And for all who see the beauty of what was accomplished on it, they are drawn to Jesus for eternal life. Is that you? Are you counted among those who see the beauty of what Christ has done? You know, we hear of stories and we read of supreme examples of sacrifice. And we might hear of one person giving their life for someone else. One example of a man dying in place of another man took place in 1941 in the Auschwitz concentration camp in German-occupied Poland. In one of the blocks there of this compound of prisoners, there was a prisoner who tried to escape. And so to discourage other people from trying to escape, the guards decided they would choose 10 men who would be executed by starvation. And so they just randomly picked 10 men. And one of the prisoners who was selected, his name was Franciszek Gojonaszek. I'll call him Francis. He was one of the men that was called. And when they called his name, pointed to him, and brought him forth, he fell down in despair. And he cried out, thinking only of his wife and his children who were totally dependent on him. And he was in despair. Well, there was another prisoner in that same block by the name of Maximilian Kolbe. Maximilian was a priest. And he heard the desperation in Francis's plea. And he immediately stood up. He said, "Take me in his place." And the guard looked at both men and he didn't see the value of any of their lives. And so he said, "Fine." And so Francis, along with 9 others, were thrown into a bunker and left without water, without food. And at the end of 2 weeks, Francis was the last one alive. And they sped up his death by giving him a lethal injection. And so at the end of 2 weeks, they needed the space. So they finalized what they started doing. If you read the story, it's an atrocious death that they died. So do you wonder what happened to Francis? He was later released. He survived the camp. He was released and he died in 1995 at the age of 95. 53 years later. And when Father Colby died in his place at the age of 47. So for 53 years, every day Francis thought about what Father Colby had done for him. How could you not think about what this man had done and let that affect your own life? Every day for 53 years, he thought about the sacrificial death that Father Colby had given to him. He had given him life. And every year on August the 14th, which was the day that Father Colby died, Francis would return to Auschwitz and he would remember what had been done for him. Now that is one man dying for another man, a noble act to be sure. Now think about one man dying for all mankind. That's what Jesus did. And every time we come to this table, we are remembering what Jesus has done for us. So don't just hear a story from 1941 or hear something about Jesus coming into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. This is for you right here today. If you believe that Jesus died for you, then you need to remember what Christ has done. And you need to celebrate. And you need to let that memory fuel your worship. You need to let that memory fuel your service. Because there is absolutely nothing you can do to earn salvation. Christ has earned it for you. And it's by sheer grace that's activated by your faith that you have any hope for life. And praise be to God, that gift of life has been offered. Now, do you receive it? As Judy plays, would you just reflect? And would you prepare your own heart as we come to remember Him?